Matthew 16. Jesus went to the territory near the town of Caesarea and Philippi, where he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" "Some say John the Baptist," they answered. "Others say Elijah, while others say Jeremiah or some other prophet." "What about you?" he asked them. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God."
"Good for you, Simon, son of John," answered Jesus, "for this truth did not come to you from any human being, but it was given to you directly by my Father in heaven. And so I tell you, Peter, you are a rock, and on this rock foundation I will build my church, and not even death will be able to overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven, and what you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Then Jesus ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
George W. Bush, born in 1946, he was the 46th governor of Texas and the 43rd president of the United States. He is the son of former President George H.W. Bush. And as a child, George attended public schools in Midland, Texas. He graduated Yale University and Harvard Business School. He at one time owned the Texas Rangers professional baseball team. He married Laura Welsh. And though he was raised Episcopalian, he later joined and is active in the United Methodist Church. Barack Hussein Obama was born in 1961 in Honolulu, Hawaii. He is a graduate of Columbia University and Harvard Law School. He is the first African-American president of the Harvard Law Review. He taught at Chicago Law School before becoming 44th president of the United States. His presidency had a number of bills passed. Most significantly, it would be argued, would be the Affordable Care Act, or as it has come to be known, Obamacare. He married Michelle Robinson. For those of you who don't know our Michelle, we have one too. He married Michelle Robinson. He is a Chicago White Sox fan and a member of the Shiloh Baptist Church. Bill Gates, born in 1955, the year, Corinne, you and I were born. When he was 20 years old, he launched Microsoft. And the rest, as they say, is history. He married Melinda French, and they have three children. A few years ago, Bill and Melinda gave $5 billion to begin the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Over the years, this foundation has facilitated health care, education, and wealth redistribution in the third world. Bill is the richest man in the world. He and Warren Buffett founded the Giving Pledge, which encourages people to give away, people of wealth, to give away at least half of their wealth to charitable entities. Melinda is Roman Catholic, And though Bill does not claim a personal faith, he participates with her vigorously in the Roman Catholic Church. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was born of a virgin approximately 2,000 years ago in a tiny town called Bethlehem. Bethlehem was far away from the home of his parents, Mary and Joseph. Before they could return to Nazareth with their newborn, they had to flee as immigrants to another land called Egypt and stay there several years because of the threat of persecution from a Jewish leader named Herod. He did most of his growing up in Nazareth. It's likely that Jesus worked at his father's carpentry shop. He had a number of brothers and sisters. He and they were practicing Hebrews. It's apparent that they were devout in their Hebrew faith, as is evidenced by the fact that they would return to Jerusalem for Passover. When Jesus was approximately 30, he gathered a band of 12 followers, generally unknown, and it's likely they were perceived as unimportant people. Within 3 years, this Jesus had turned the Middle East upside down. His preaching involved love, mercy, justice, forgiveness, and redemption. He never wrote a book. He never traveled more than 90 miles from home in his entire life. He never served a public office or a religious office. Jesus is the Son of God. And Christians maintain that because of his life, his death, his burial and resurrection, humanity has the opportunity to have a full and restored relationship with God. George W. Bush, Barack Obama, Bill Gates, Jesus of Nazareth. We have lots of information on these four. With a little bit of study, you could have spent hours describing them. Interestingly, though, I have only personally known one of the four. There is only one of the four who knows me. It's very possible to know a great deal about someone and yet never know them. I may meet George Bush, Barack Obama, and Bill Gates one day. I hope I do. I think all three are great and good people. But I probably won't. And they will miss out on the opportunity of meeting me. We live in this information age. This past week, I Googled myself. And for those of you who don't know what that means, it's not anything dirty, so get your minds out of the gutter. I was fascinated when I entered Joseph Edward Yelton, and 10 pictures hit the screen instantly, and none of them were me. One of the 10 was an African-American gentleman, and I'm going to be honest with you, one of them was a pretty sleazy-looking guy. Again, I was not numbered among those 10. I want you to know that. Dicey though he was, he and I share the same name. The exact same name. I wonder if that Dicey guy and I are a lot alike. It was my sixth grade teacher who said, Joseph Edward Yelton, it is no accident that the letters in your name number 666. And when I was in sixth grade, I didn't know even what that meant. I do now. Maybe I have more in common with that guy who looked pretty rugged than I do the other nine. Maybe not. We can learn all kinds of information about people without even trying. But there is a reality here I want us to move to quickly. We can learn information about people, but we can never, ever learn to have a relationship with someone unless we spend time with them. We must spend time with them for our experience to be something more than my experience with George Bush, Barack Obama, and Bill Gates. About 2,000 years ago, in approximately the year 30, Common Era, along the southern slope of the base of Mount Hermon, Jesus was teaching, and it was the disciples' time again to learn. As they're sitting there, and I can just see them sitting around on rocks, on a tree stump. Maybe there's a log that is laying across, and two or three of the disciples are there. But I can just see Jesus as they're telling their stories and they're getting some giggles and they're saying, hey, you remember the time? In the midst of all of that, Jesus looks out to his disciples and he said, who do people say that I am? And I suspect the 12 got kind of quiet at that point. They focused. Finally, one of them speaks up. Well, some of the people say, you're John the Baptist. At that prompting, another one said, oh yeah, yeah, a lot of people think you're Elijah the prophet. Come back. And then another one chimed in. Others of the people out there think that you're the prophet Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And though the Bible doesn't give us a tempo, I suspect there was some time before the second question. Jesus and these 12 disciples are in this region at the foot of Mount Hermon, surrounded by Syrian and Greek temples to all of these thousands of gods, when Jesus asks this question. Who do you say that I am? You see, the disciples' responses at first were like my responses for Presidents Bush and Obama and Bill Gates. With a few clicks on the keypad, we can get more information than we want about more people than we know. But then Jesus focuses it all in and he says, who do you say that I am? No longer do you agree with the crowds. Who do you say that I am? And I suspect when his question was finished, it was moments before Peter spoke up. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. Now we hear that today, folks, and I get it. If you're like me, my whole life I've been immersed in this Christian culture. Yeah, of course, Jesus is the Messiah. That's who Jesus is. But this was fresh to them. This was brand new to those disciples. You mean this promised one, this Messiah that we've been hearing our parents and our grandparents broadcasting and forecasting and prophesying all through the years? You're saying that this is him? Well, that's exactly what Peter is saying, and it was taking some time for that to sink in. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. I'm pretty sure that the other 11 disciples were glad that Jesus had finally confirmed the question they had been asking all along. We're following this Jesus. We know he's amazing. We know he's from God. Who is he? And I suspect they were relieved that he had finally confirmed, indeed, he is the Messiah. But then Jesus does a curious thing. Jesus says to all 12 of them, "Now, this thing you have just learned, don't tell anybody." That's exactly the opposite of what pastors and evangelists and all the others say. We tell you, tell everybody about Jesus. Tell everyone your story of who Christ is. Jesus looks to them and says, "Tell no one." Why did he do that? Do you remember those pauses that I speculate? I didn't say those are scripturally mentioned, but I speculate those pauses are there. I believe that if you read the scripture, it will indicate that Peter came to that revelation at that moment when he dealt with that question personally. Who do you say that I am? And Peter thought about it. And it suddenly, by unction of the Holy Spirit, occurred to him, "You are the Christ. You're the expected one. You're the Son of God." Jesus knew that it was going to take a while for what that means to settle in to those 12 disciples, including Peter. He knew that if they went out broadcasting it now, it would be no time before they were mired up to their necks in questions that they had no answers for. Jesus knew it was best if they, at the moment, keep silent about his identity. What happens when you come to know Jesus? Well, it charts a course for you because he's now in relationship with you. Most of the relationships I have, even with my closest family, there are long stretches of time when I don't hear from them. When I was on sabbatical, I'd be gone weeks at a time, and though we would talk by phone most days, I never saw them, they never saw me, or all that kind of thing. This Jesus is different. Jesus, we're taught, and I believe, is with us in our going out and our coming in. When the sun rises and when it sets, Jesus is with us. When I come into that relationship with Jesus, it changes things just as much as if I happened in my computerizing this past week. That is the right word, right? Computerizing. If I'd been going through all that and discovered that Bill Gates happens to be my second cousin, be assured that would change the relationship that cousin Bill and I share. When we go into relationship with one another, things change. The disciples were not yet ready to understand fully what it meant for Jesus to be the Son of God. but they were fully ready to still follow him while they came to understand. As it turns out, and they would know this soon enough, Jesus was preparing for battle. The battle Jesus was going to fight was not from those Roman invaders who now occupied their land. No, it was not even from Herod, the king of the Jews who was so corrupt. No, it was not from neighboring Egypt or Assyria. No, none of those. The battle Jesus was fighting, was waging, was a battle to regain a relationship between humanity and God that had been lost in sin. And Jesus was going to battle and reestablish the potentiality of that relationship. Now, for Jesus to win this battle, it is like all battles. Suffering is required. Sacrifice will be mandatory. Faith in Jesus for these 12 disciples led to their deaths. Jesus' messianic mission was so different than what the disciples had in mind when they first started following him. When they first followed Jesus, there's every indication to believe that the disciples were following him for one of three reasons. First of all, some of these guys were fishermen, and any place was better than continuing to do what they had been doing. Secondly, it's possible that some of the people were following Jesus because they thought this guy just might be able to lead us into rebellion against those renegade Romans and us push them back across the Mediterranean to Rome. Thirdly, there might have been one or two among those 12 who were beginning to wonder about that messianic vision. Could he be the one who is predicted? What's interesting is, whatever their reasons for beginning to follow Jesus, they changed as they got to know Jesus. Just like the relationship that I share with Corinne is very different than the relationship we had and maintained for a couple of years when we first met. I was a minister of youth in her church. She was dating another guy for a long time. They were having troubles after a couple of years, and she came to me for counsel. We started dating a couple of weeks later, and that's not exactly right, but it's pretty close. I heard about Corinne before I saw her. My first weekend at that church, the pastor took me by to visit key people. We went by to visit the president of WMU named Mary and her husband, who was the director of Sunday school, named Bill. And we went into the den and sat, and we visited for a while. Folks, this was 11:30 in the morning. Corinne was there, but she was still in bed asleep. Yes, at 11 or 11:30 on a Saturday morning. I heard about Corinne, but I didn't know Corinne. In time, I would learn a lot of things about Corinne without knowing Corinne. I know a lot of things about George Bush, Barack Obama, and Bill Gates. The relationship that began as a non-relationship took wings when it became a relationship. That is true of Corinne and me. It is true of Jesus and me. So let's go back to that question. Why did Jesus tell the disciples to keep that quiet for the time? Because he understood they were not going to put it together until they had witnessed the resurrection. So Jesus asked that question, but it's one of those philosophical questions in a way. It's for the ages. And he looks at you, and he looks at me, and he asks the question again. Listen, who do you say Jesus is? Well, born about 2,000 years ago, born in Bethlehem. His parents had to escape to Egypt. After Egypt, they went back to Nazareth. He stayed there about 30 years, becoming a man and learning all the things of life. He worked in his dad's carpentry shop. We don't know really a lot about those years, but then we start learning some things about him. He begins to go through the area of Galilee, and he picks out these 12 guys to follow him around, and they do. And then he begins to teach some things about loving everybody. And let's see, what else? Oh, yes, that's right. He dies on a Roman cross and he resurrects. That's who Jesus is. No, that's who Jesus was. Who is Jesus to you? Oh, I accept that the resurrection 2,000 years ago has absolute pertinence into our day. The question is, and it's not my question, it's from Jesus to me, it's from Jesus to you, who do you say he is? What would be your answer to that question? We live in a confusing day. We confuse good for good at. We confuse sex with love. We confuse more with being better. We confuse stuff with happiness. We confuse worldly success with contentment. There is this one place, though, that we cannot afford to confuse. There is the one question that we need to get right. Who is Jesus to me? To you. Learning about Jesus is important. It is essential. We must learn about Jesus. However, Jesus is alive now, right now, and he wants to relate to you right now. He is not some cosmic philosophical notion. Jesus is the ever-present God seeking relationship with you. You are not to God some 10 Joseph Edward Yeltons who come up on the screen when you enter that in. He knows you. He knows how you think and what you are. God knows what we're going to do before we do it. He knows what we're going to think before we think it. All of that, yes. But through Jesus Christ, that should not cause us to fear. It should cause us to be comforted because he knows the truth about us and chooses us anyway. Jesus loves me, this I know. How do you know that? Well, the Bible tells me so. There comes a place. And be careful with what I'm about to say, for you will corrupt it without meaning to. There comes a place where the Bible is not enough. Who do you say Jesus is? Don't give some litany of a biblical knowledge to that question. In the year 2017, who do you say Jesus is in your life right now? I close with this. When I was pastor on a college campus for a number of years, I would constantly have students coming into the office with various struggles and trials they were in, and just the battles of trying to remain faithful and so forth. And all of that was so amazing until one day a young lady came into the office whom I had known, I guess, for a couple of years, and her dad was a pastor, and I know him. And she said, "I want to tell you something, Joe. Something wonderful has happened." "What? What's happened?" She said, "Well, I know Jesus." "Well, I know her mom and dad. I know that she's known about Jesus all of her 20 years. So I knew I was not hearing what she was saying." Well, tell me what you mean." She said, "Now listen. I've spent my life being content to know about Jesus. This past Thursday, I came to know Jesus. He is with me now. The conversation went on from there. But that's enough for now. Who do you say Jesus is? Not who do you say Jesus was. Who do you say Jesus is? Heavenly Father, I do pray that we will grow discomforted if we've grown comfortable in only part of the truth. Teach us the joy of allowing fresh air to fill our lungs once we learn that Jesus is. Teach us to struggle against our willingness to be satisfied with only a portion. Teach us to seek Jesus. Teach us to let Jesus truly into our lives. I praise you that Jesus already knows the truth about us, one and all, every single one of us. And I praise you that He is so loving that He loves us still. I praise you that we've never done anything that has shocked Jesus. That He's ahead of us, always going to where He's coming from. Thank you that He's ours and we are His.